The Lord Almighty grant us a peaceful night and a perfect end.
Amen.
Our health is in the name of the Lord.
The Maker of heaven and earth.
Let us confess our sins to God. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you through our own fault, in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. For the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us all our offenses, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name.
Amen.
May the Almighty God grant us forgiveness of all our sins and the grace and comfort of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Let us read the psalm. In unison.
Oh, yeah, we can read it in there.
I can Psalm 36, read. Verses 5 to 10.
36, what page is that on? Let's see.
It's on page
632. That's 5 through 10. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the strong mountains, your justice like the great deep. You save both man and beast, O Lord. How priceless is your love, O God. Your people take refuge under the shadow of your wings. They feast upon the abundance of your house. You give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the well of life, and in your light we see light. Continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your favor to those who are true of heart.
I thought I could get to that later. And our reading for tonight from the Gospel is John 2. The Gospel of John, verses 1 to 11. The wedding at Cana. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not come yet." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it had come from, even though the servants who had drawn the water knew where it came from, the steward called the bridegroom and said to the bridegroom, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's save that, and I have my homily on my phone here. As I reviewed the readings for this evening, the verses from Psalms 8 to 10 resonated with me. And if I were to write a song or a poem about the readings, this could be the refrain. And I noticed when we read this from the Book of Common Prayer, I like this version better than the one that I had at home. I forgot what version it was, but let's see. Okay, this is what my refrain would be if I were to write a song. The feast upon the abundance of your house. You give them drink from the river of your delights, for with you is the well of life, and in your light we see light. That would be the refrain. The gospel reading is from John. John 2, verses 1 to 11. A very familiar passage of the wedding at Cana, Galilee. In reading this passage, I went through a sequence of imaginative prayer from the Ignatian method of prayer. I learned about imaginative prayer from my friend Yasmin Vasquez, who led me to the website of the Upper Room that explained that Ignatian contemplation is a way to enter the story and become a participant in the story, to more fully focus on the mind, heart, and work of Christ. In reading the scripture using this method, questions for reflection are, what do I see and hear? What do I smell, taste, or touch? Who are the characters and what's going on with them? If I were in the passage, what role would I play? If I were Jesus, what would I be feeling, thinking, saying? As I read the scripture and attempted to place myself within the wedding feast, I saw myself in the kitchen, or the place of food and drink preparation for the feast, with the mother of Jesus. In the book of John, the mother of Jesus is referred to as the mother of Jesus, and not by her first name. This testimony of John does not begin with Mary and Joseph getting the news of the pregnancy, does not include the manger, the star, the shepherds, the wise men, or even 12-year-old Jesus in the temple. John's creation opens with locating us within the Word and introducing us to John, who announced the coming of Jesus, Jesus' baptism, and Jesus meeting and engaging his disciples. Then chapter 2. The third day, the marriage at Cana. The mother of Jesus was there, Jesus and his disciples, and in my imagination, I was there too. In my mind, the mother of Jesus was one of the cool people, the one who could organize a party. She was everyone's go-to about pregnancy, parenting, cooking, relationships, husbands, money, clothes, injury, illness, you name it. And I also knew on some level, an unspoken level, that Jesus had not been the easiest kiddo to raise. And at age 30, Jesus was just getting started. And that was a little old to be just getting started at that time. But I didn't ask questions to Mary. I knew Mary had it all handled. Then the wine gave out. How could this happen? So Mary just made a statement to her son. Her statement was, they have no wine. And Jesus' reply was way over the top, even kind of rude and kind of weird, as the way I saw it. His reply from my version was, O woman, what have you to do with me? My hour has not come. Then things started happening really fast. Mary told the servants to do what Jesus told them. Jars of water were brought out, the jars of water for purification. Jesus told the servants to fill the jars with water, and the jars were filled to the brim. Then Jesus told them to take some of the wine out and take it to the steward of the feast. The steward tasted the wine, but didn't know that Jesus had made this happen. The servants knew, Mary knew, the disciples knew, I knew, but no one else saw what happened. And the steward made this statement to the bridegroom and everyone. Every man serves the good wine first. And when men have drunk freely, then the poor wine. but you have kept the good wine until now. This was supposed to be one of the first signs of what was to come with Jesus. And if I placed myself in the story, I would have tasted it, that it was water first and then very good wine. I probably would have wondered why Jesus didn't take credit for this. And I wondered what Mary had known all along about Jesus. And what was that interaction earlier between Mary and Jesus in the kitchen? So, curtain closed on the insertion of me into this story. Obviously, I would have been one of those clueless ones in the story of the life of Jesus. And unlike Thomas the twin later in the gospel, I would have been afraid to say anything. I would have been afraid to ask questions. And with the wedding incident, I would have wondered if I had been affected by the wine and just didn't remember everything correctly. Maybe it was my imagination. There has to be a good explanation for all of this. This was early in Jesus' ministry, his first sign and miracle. After doing the imaginative prayer exercise, I Googled what others had written about this reading in John. Some commentators wrote that Jesus wasn't being disrespectful to his mother, that this language was used to align Jesus with his heavenly Father, and to emphasize the will and timetable of Jesus and his Father. But Mary had faith and continued her organizational efforts by providing the servants with the next steps to do so as Jesus instructed. And yes, the water was turned into wine at this happy celebration. And this wedding was especially remarkable because the good stuff was served last, when the practice was usually to serve the good stuff first, while the guests' taste buds and minds were still sharp. In a chapter of one of Nadia Bowles Weber's books, she describes how John 2, 1 through 11 was a lectionary reading the week of a devastating earthquake in Haiti. When she saw that this was a lectionary reading, she wrote, "Nobody wants to hear of an abundance of wine when people in the streets of Haiti are thirsty. But with the mother of Jesus, Mary saw when people were thirsty. Mary knew her son and saw that there was a need. Nope, a wedding, even a week-long wedding like they had in those times, is not an earthquake. But from the reading, we do not know what the consequences would have been of running out of wine at the wedding. And God's love and abundance are there for us all of the time, all times, the good times, the bad times, the horrible times, weddings, births, deaths, earthquakes, promotions, graduations, illnesses, injuries, losses, and at the cross. God is there when Jesus is on the cross and in our times when we feel that life is just too much to bear." So I'll end with the chorus from Psalms. Let us celebrate and pray for abundance and living waters and light. The feast upon the abundance of your house. You give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the well of life, and in your light we see light. Amen.
Amen. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
For you have redeemed me, O Lord, of God's truth.
Keep us, O Lord, as the apple of your eye.
Hide us in the shadow of your wings.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For
Lord, hear our prayer.
And let our cry come to you.
Let us pray. Be present, O merciful God, and protect us through the hours of this night, so that we who are wearied by the changes and chances of this life may rest in your eternal changelessness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who work or watch or weep this night, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary. Bless the dying. Soothe the suffering. Pity the afflicted. Shield the joyous. And all for your love's sake.
Amen.
Entertain thanksgivings and intercessions.
Karen, Sally, Lynn.
Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and Merciful Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us.
Amen. Amen.